I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I'm Kim, and I'm joined, as always, by my book besties, Christina and Anna.
Hello!
Hello! Guys, this episode is going to be such a fun one. Christina is joining us tonight as a commentator.
I am an audience member as well.
Yes.
Here.
She is.
I'm
we love her for it.
Listener.
Yes.
Yeah, I have not read any new Kindle Unlimited books, mainly because of my newborn babe.
A newborn child.
she's a bit busy.
She's slightly busy
right at the moment. A little busy with my child and sleeping.
That is a priority.
But I'm so excited to be here and like hear you guys talk about these.
Yes. Like, so we have already done one installment of our current KU Reads. Anna and I did it while Christina was out on maternity leave. And,
and it was such a fun one to listen to.
It was such a fun one. But this one, you guys, I've been dying to talk to you about. First of all, I have 10 books on my list.
Kim has a lot.
Which is a lot, but I'm gonna go fast. And these aren't even all the ones I read. There were three or four that I was like, eh, they're good, not great. Can't make the cut.
You have been killing it with these.
I had really good luck.
The buildup. You've been like, I have a book. I can't wait to start on this episode.
I've been hyping it up.
I feel like you just like, I feel like I kissed so many frogs.
I
read 14 books. I think two of them I DNF'd, which is saying a lot for me.
Yeah.
Because
I don't
really
DNF a book.
Tries to stick it out.
I think I have 10 or 9 to talk about, and I'm gonna be honest, most of them are like, yeah, this is fine.
It's good, not great.
And then I have a few that I'm like, yes, definitely recommend this one if you like XYZ.
Perfect.
Totally.
Okay,
which I think is nice. And
agreed.
So just as an overview, I have all like psychological thrillers and rom-coms, and then like one, I'm saving it for last because it's the best. That's just like a romance. And then Anna has a lot of fantasy.
I have fantasy, dark fantasy. Listeners, you guys all requested dark romance.
Yeah.
And I said no, and Anna really took one for the team.
I really took one for the team, guys.
No judgment, but like also a little bit of judgment because some of these...
I can't even get into like my list is so long that I can't even get into my mafia romances.
I know.
Or my mate, like fated mates, like shifter romances.
Oh, man.
We're going to have to do another episode.
That'll
I'm going to
another,
dedicate all
one.
The time to the mafia.
I know. And Anna's list just like
a good
keeps growing.
One. Yeah.
And we just keep getting so many good recommendations that our list just keeps growing. And so I purposely was like, no, I am knocking some of these out that we have been recommended so much.
Yes.
And guys, there's some really good ones out there. I feel like Kindle Unlimited kind of gets a bad rap sometimes. It's just steamy romances that are like terrible writing. And it's just like porn, basically.
I feel like it's like a TJ Maxx. Like you have to like look through the things. But like there's some really good stuff in there.
That's a great allegory. I really enjoy that.
It is
like
good
a TJ Maxx.
Christina.
And I had a very successful shopping trip this go-round.
I was going to say, and you had a great shopping trip, and Anna had like a reasonable
and it had like an okay
trip.
One,
I left with some beauty products.
Exactly. But Anna had some really good ones last time, and there's a couple fantasy ones that I've been dying to read, but guys, I'm going to be honest, like, since we're reading so much SJM, I'm just nervous to read a KU fantasy because I'm so picky with fantasy that I'm like, we're reading Throne of Glass and right into ACOTAR. What could live
Don't
up
worry.
To recent?
Kim, I'll take it for, I'll take one for the team.
Thank you, Anna. Anna, I'm forcing Anna to read all the fantasy because I'm like, no, I can't do it. And like
no,
the dark
listen,
romance.
Listen, we need to stick to our strong suits because most of the ones I didn't like were these romantic, like contemporary romances where I was just like, I can't get past this.
Yes.
Right.
Anna's,
and then
yeah,
can get
bread
past,
and butter
so,
is
you know,
like fantasy and I'm
we
much
have
more
different
forgiving.
Thresholds.
We do. Yeah. We do.
Yeah.
That's and I like because we all bring something different to the table. Okay.
Look at us.
Who would have thought? Not me. Okay. I'm going to get started by.
Great.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
I'm like just.
Okay.
Your hand motions
so,
are going to be excited.
Friend of the podcast, Nicole. Hello, Nicole. Again, we read both of these kind of like together, or I basically like forced. I was like, you must read these. And she did and had equal reactions to me.
Oh,
which,
wait.
Like, was
this is the one she told me about at the wedding that I just saw her at. Yeah. Okay.
With the really bad covers.
Terrible
yes.
covers.
Hysterical.
Yes. I was like,
terrible covers.
I can't get past these covers.
So, okay. So I'm going to start with, it's called the Mindfuck series. And it's by, I think it's St. Abby, but it's a pen name. She actually has several different pen names for different genres of books. So like if she writes, like she calls like her dark kind of fucked up books is St. Abby, and then she has like other genres that she wrote. But
that's
sadly
cool,
she
it.
Did pass away last year, which is really unfortunate because
oh really
yeah that's I so doesn't sad. Say why. I don't know if it was COVID or whatever, but there was an author's or there was a note in the end of the last book that
oh,
she had
so
passed
sad.
away. But I will admit that the covers are not good, and I've gotten several messages from listeners being like, I've always wanted to read this series, but like I cannot get past the covers. And I'm like, I agree. They really did her a disservice because they're just not good. But ignore the shell and just focus on the inside, because the inside is fucking bananas. Literally my note is, oh sweet baby Jesus, this was fucking insanity to the next level. That's my note about this book.
Oh my God, I love it.
That's my note. So if you haven't heard of this series, it's basically the premise is a female Dexter falls in love with an FBI agent whose sole job is profiling and targeting serial killers.
Oh my God.
Okay.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Our main characters are Lana and Logan, who fall in love, but little does Logan know that Lana is systematically hunting down, torturing, and killing men who have wronged her in the past. Just as like a side hobby,
like,
you know?
Little
some of
does
us read,
know.
Some of us knit, some of us torture and kill
some
terrible
us,
men.
Some of us knit.
You know, we all have, as Anna said, different spice for different slice of life.
Different
you know?
Spice for a different slice of life.
And Lana's spice is torturing and killing men. And listen, you know? I know what I'm saying right now, you're like, I don't agree with this. You're wrong. You will. So basically something horrible was done to her family when she was a teenager, and she lived in this very small, very religious town.
Okay.
And the entire town covered for the boys that did it.
Oh, no.
And so she is on a revenge mission, and she's not going to stop until every single person that not only did it, but knew about it and covered it up is dead.
Okay.
And I will admit this story is dark and fucked up and twisted and graphic. I started to write out trigger warnings, and then I literally was just like, all the triggers.
Just go look them up. Yeah.
Just go look them up. It is very dark. I typically don't like that, but it's important to note that the relationship between the two main characters is not dark and twisted at all.
Okay.
Like it's
got
very
it.
Sweet. It's, I mean, as sweet as it, you know, he has no idea. He just thinks she's this
right.
like really sweet girl.
Yeah.
And you know, she tells him she runs this online eBay kind of store basically, which she does, but she's busy doing other stuff too. And so there's nothing graphic or like twisted
with
about
them.
Their relationship,
yeah.
but it's this great dichotomy of they're falling in love and she's
yeah.
falling in love with him, but she's like, how can I be in love with somebody? I'm
also
busy torturing
yes.
men.
Yeah.
Like she's killing men in real time and he's finding the bodies and they're trying to figure out,
oh
of course
God.
They think it's a man because they think no woman could ever be this messed up.
Oh.
And I'm like, and so you know, like the whole time you're like, yeah, exactly. I will
wow.
say like, so that you flashback over the course. So it's 5 novellas. The
oh,
longest one is like 150 pages.
So they're short. They're really
short. They're very short, and they all end on a cliffhanger where you have
oh.
to pick up the next one. Literally like mic drop, like dun, dun, dun. I read these 5 books in 2.5 days. Let me just put that
Stop
in perspective
it.
For you. I could not stop reading these books.
Oh,
and
my God.
You flash back and forth in time between what happened to her that night and then her in the present day.
Like
and
current,
I will
yeah.
tell you that the flashbacks are very graphic.
Okay.
What was done to her and her brother was really hard to read at times.
Okay.
And there were times where I was like, this kind of makes me sick to my stomach. So know that going in, you could always yeah. like skip over that part, but it is important because you root for her. You want her to yeah. kill these men because they're horrible. What they did was truly some of the most horrific things I've ever heard in my entire life.
And so then it justifies the behavior if you're watching her torture right. and kill people and you're like, well, that makes sense because, or not makes sense, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah oh yeah, no, yeah. you're like, you're rooting for her and you're like, this is fucked up. Like, I'm rooting for a murderer. But then you're like, hell yeah, girl, you torture
you
him.
You do it, yeah.
She was tortured so badly that she's had to have reconstructive surgery. And
oh,
so none God. Of the guys recognize her at first. And
oh
when
God.
They figure out it's her, they're like, no, you're dead. You're dead. And she's like, yeah, I'm not ready to play.
Whoa.
It is so good, you guys. And I've
oh
gotten
God.
So many people to read it. And we've gotten messages being like, yes. oh my God, I just read these. These are insane. I'm so glad I looked beyond the covers and read them because they are
yes.
so insane. I've just never read anything like this before. And it was so well done. And the romance is really, it sounds weird to say that it's sweet. They are just giddy over each other. They are just,
oh my God.
There's some spice. There's good steam. They have sex all the time. And then she goes off and tortures and kills men.
And then
you know,
she goes and does her thing. But you know,
but that's okay.
Yeah.
I would read the first one. You're
going
to know right
you.
Away
yeah.
if it's for you or not. And I just really don't think you'll regret it. And again, they're so short. Like,
yeah,
they're
I was
literally,
gonna say, they're
some
so
of them
short.
Are like
yeah.
100 pages, like 100, they range between like 100 to 150 pages. So you can read
totally.
Them in a couple hours. And I just had a hell of a time reading it.
Well, I
time.
Really, I mean, I've heard you and talk about it, Nikki talk about it. Like, I, the only reason I didn't read it was because I knew that you'd finish the series. And I was like,
yeah.
okay, well, Kim's got this one covered.
And I really want you to read. I think you're going to be like, oh my God. Like, I...
Listen, I've
I need
seen
Jesus.
It all this time.
I need therapy. Like, I need help. But it's just so... I've just never read anything like it. Like, in a good way. I thought
That's
it was
so
very...
Great. And it feels like, I don't know, achievable. Like, little novellas. Like,
yes,
oh, just read
exactly.
a little one, like, in a day or two. Yeah,
truly, I read the first one in a couple of hours.
That's
so,
great.
Again, yeah, I agree, Christina. It's good if you don't have a lot of time right now to read,
yeah.
but you want to, like, pop back in.
Yeah.
And they read really fast. So, after that, I was like, I want to continue on this roller coaster.
On this psychological roller coaster.
I picked up a book called Perfect Strangers by J.T. Geisinger, is I
yes.
believe how you pronounce her last name.
Okay.
And I also convinced Nicole, friend of the podcast, Nicole, to read this with me. And she did. And she was like, holy shit, Kim. On the surface, you think it's like contemporary romance, but it's a suspense rom-com.
Okay.
And it's about this author, Olivia, who is in France to hopefully get over her writer's block because her daughter, young daughter, tragically died and she hasn't been able to write in a couple of years. And her
mm-hmm. okay.
her agent was like, listen, you kind of need to write something. So
yeah.
here's my apartment in Paris. Just go and
casual.
Live in Paris for the summer. Casual. Like, we all have friends like that, right?
Right. Totes.
And her agent's like, go be inspired by Paris, but you need to write something. You know, and she's divorced from her
okay.
daughter's dad. And so she's in Paris and she meets this very handsome, enigmatic man named James. And they start
Hello,
a very
James.
Passionate love affair.
Okay.
But they don't want to know. She's like, I don't want to know anything about you. I'm only here for the summer. I'm not in a place where I want to be involved with anybody. I just want to sleep together and just have this torrid affair in Paris.
Okay.
Which like kind of sounds great to me.
Yeah.
So they just are on this affair. But the more time they spend together, the more Olivia begins to realize her summer fling is turning into a powerful connection and that
okay.
the man she's falling in love with might not be what he seems.
Oh.
Mm.
And you think it's going one way. And
yeah.
it, Anna, when I tell you, you will never guess this twist.
Detective Anna.
She'll never, ever, ever.
No, I don't think I will. So here's the thing is I actually started Pen Pal
yes.
by her.
Yes.
Okay.
So
okay.
I put it aside because I had just been reading too many contemporary romances and I needed a break.
Yeah.
And I got like halfway through it and I was like, okay, this is, I think my brain is just not functioning because everybody, it was all over book talk. It's,
yeah.
You loved Perfect Stranger. So I was like, I'm
yes.
going to give Pen Pal a try. It was different.
Yeah.
Yes, it is different.
And I think Perfect Strangers and Pen Pal, she writes a very specific way.
She does.
And I want to go back and read them. I just needed to like change my, I needed a palette cleanser.
Totally.
So I put it aside.
I totally get that. And
yeah.
it is different.
But it's good writing.
It's good writing, but I will tell you, if you're after like a very traditional happily ever after, you might not like
Maybe
it.
Maybe not for you.
Okay. Maybe not for you. Yeah, pen pal, definitely not.
I am typically that way as well, but yeah. Just hold on, stay with me. Mm-hmm. I really think it's worth it.
Yeah.
I think it's a really unique story. It's one of those books where like you just need to go in, suspend your disbelief, yeah. and like buckle up and just
love it.
Just be along for the ride. But it is
buckle up.
So I've seen like videos of people reacting to kind of the big twist, and it is hysterical. It's like House of Sky and Breath, because it's just like everyone's like,
what?
Oh my god, what? Like, and Nicole was like, when she got to it, she was like, are you fucking kidding me, Kim? Are you fucking kidding
that.
Me
I
now?
Love that.
And then like later on she was like, okay Kim, I was a little angry at you there. And I was like, she goes, I had to trust that you wouldn't steer me wrong. And I was like, I would never steer you wrong.
No.
But it is so, it's like a psychological thriller romance, which I don't
I love that.
Read a lot of.
I was going to say, I feel like that's a different genre for me too. And I'm into it. That's yeah. interesting. Yeah.
So my last kind of psychological thriller is called The Arrangement by Kirsten Maughlin. I believe is how you pronounce her last name. And my note is, holy shit balls, this was quite frankly bananas.
Quite frankly, bananas.
Quite frankly.
So this story is about Ainsley and Peter, and they are a middle-aged couple with three teenage kids living a perfectly boring, normal suburban life. They haven't really been happy for a while, so Ainsley brings up the idea of having an open marriage, dating other people to kind of bring the spice back into their marriage.
Okay.
They come up with a set of rules, they download the dating apps, and they kind of get started.
Okay.
But quickly, things start going off the rails when a man that Ainsley goes on a date with starts harassing and stalking her. They used fake names, but he found out her real name and finds out where she lives and shows up at her house and is banging on the door, screaming, Uh-oh. Insisting on seeing
her. Oh, not good.
So like shit hits the fan. From there, it just goes off the rails and like never lets up. There is plot twist after plot twist after plot twist. I read it last night. I finished it last night at like 12:30 and I could not put this book down. I will say, if you've read a lot of psychological thrillers, I think by the end of it, you're kind of going to be like, okay.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is like the fifth reveal, and this is like a little bit insane.
Yeah.
But at that point, I was like, I just want to know what happens.
At that point, you're in. Yeah. You're in.
Again, this is kind of one of those, I think a lot of these, like, you just kind of got to temper your expectations and like suspend disbelief a little bit.
Yeah.
This is apparently a series, and I do want to continue on, but I'm going to give myself a break because it was a lot. And I can't fathom where they're really going to go with the story after this. But this was a really good psychological thriller. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very entertaining.
Right.
Last one I want to mention is called The Housemaid by Freda McGadden, which is also a psychological suspense thriller. This one is very similar to The Last Mrs. Parrish, which is a very popular psychological thriller. It's not on Kindle Unlimited, but I did want to mention it because if you've read that one, you don't need to read this one.
Like, it's very similar, yeah.
Oh.
Really quickly, just elevator pitch. This is about down on her luck Millie, who is desperate for a job so she can stop living in her car. She agrees to be a live-in maid for a wealthy family, the Winchesters. From the outside, they seem like the perfect family, a gorgeous mansion, a handsome husband and wife, precious little girl. Millie is thrilled for the opportunity, but right away things start to kind of seem off.
Mm-hmm.
The wife Nina seems to trash the house every day just for Millie to like clean it up. Their daughter Cecilia is psychotically spoiled, and her husband Andrew is dealing with Nina as she's very erratic and demanding, and she clearly, the wife has a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And Millie becomes very drawn to Andrew and starts to really sympathize with him.
Oh no.
For everything that he has to put up with. And Nina, the wife, starts becoming more and more unhinged as she kind of suspects that there are
Uh-oh.
Feelings. And this was a very fun and fast read that kept me on my toes. But again, if you read The Last Mrs. Parrish, you don't need to read this one. But if you haven't, this one is on KU. I think it's a good suspense thriller.
Like fun, yeah.
I enjoyed it and I thought it was a fun read. So those are my kind of psychological thriller suspense reads.
Those all sound great.
Anna, do you want to go into your fantasy picks?
You know what? I think just so that in case we have listeners who just want to listen to read contemporary darker, I'll just tag on. I only have two darker contemporary romances and then I can do my fantasy.
Okay, cool.
Just so that if people are listening and they don't want fantasy, they can just keep going straight through. Okay, so the first one I read, I have two.
Okay.
There are some more, but like I said, I kissed a lot of frogs.
Kissed a lot of those frogs.
I didn't want to like leave you guys hanging. I liked these, but they are not, I'll probably go back and finish the series, but I'm not like jumping at the gun of that. But I did read, I read the first like two or three of each of these.
Okay.
And then I just I need a break.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the first one I want to talk about is called Crowned Crows. First book in the series is Thorn Point, and it's by Veronica Eden.
Okay.
This is like trust fund babies, silver spoons in their mouths. These two series I'm going to talk about, just look up trigger warnings. I'm not going to go through them all. Each of the Crowned Crows is kind of a standalone, but not really because they each follow one of the four major guys, I should say, but they all build upon each other. And there's a bigger overall arcing plot that happens, but each one is its own subplot, if that makes sense.
Got it. That makes sense.
They're all alpha holes. But different. Some are like very dominating. Some are just like more goofy and like.
Yeah.
But the first one is definitely like your typical alpha hole.
Okay.
And then there's the girl. It takes place on university campus. They are hot shit. Private security, run an underground club. Oh. Like, I don't know what kind of college this is.
Yeah. But... this was not at my college.
Maybe
it was. I don't know. But I don't think so.
We were invited.
Yeah.
We were not. We didn't get the invite.
So the first book follows Rowan and Ren.
Rowan.
I like those names. Rowan and Ren.
Yeah. Rowan enrolls in Thorn Point Academy because she's trying to be closer to her brother, but her brother is gone missing and he's a journalist.
Oh.
So she like nobody believes her. The cops are like, the cops kind of come off as like dirty cops, like they are being bought off by somebody. Uh-huh. And nobody is like willing to help her find her brother. She's lost her father and her mother. It's just kind of like not in the picture. I mean, she's in the picture, but like she's kind of, I don't understand their relationship. But anyways,
They have a complicated relationship.
Yeah, it's complicated. Yeah. So then you have Ren, who is the first guy that we're going to follow in the Ground Crows crew. And he's like dark and twisty, her and I'll unalive you, that type of vibe.
Yeah.
And she basically signs up. They, every like semester or year, they get a girl like volunteers to be like their arm candy.
Oh.
And interesting. It's like
this, yeah.
So she somehow gets in there and does it so that because she knows they have like unlimited resources. And she's like, I need you to help me find my brother. Something is not right.
Okay.
So that's the premise. And then there is a lot more going on below the surface.
Uh-huh. This sounds, I like this.
Yeah, this
but check your trigger warnings. I believe the second one was especially dark.
Okay.
That one had some selling girls off.
Okay.
Prostitution, like, you know, that kind of thing. But like, it's not, this not great. World that's, it's dark and twisty.
Not my fave.
So that's Crowned Crows.
Okay. But that's like steamy. Like, are we thinking like, is it dark, like steaminess?
It's definitely steamy, but it also has, it's just like a darker overall world. Thematic.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
That's Crowned Crows by Veronica Eden. The other one I read was Four Horsemen by Sarah Bailey.
Oh, I've heard of this one.
The first one is called Carnage.
I've seen this on my
Violet.
Okay, so there's a couple Four Horsemen out there. And I don't know so this one is, there's four guys. And each book is like based off of kind of one of the Four Horsemen.
Right.
Like
right.
Mythology or whatever.
Oh, okay. Got
so
it.
So you've got Drake, Francis, West, and...
I don't love the name Francis, I'm being honest with you. Right off the bat.
Nope.
It's not turning me on.
Oh, Francie.
Yeah, Francie. So this is reverse harem.
Oh,
keep that in mind, listeners. If that's not your thing, just skip along.
So all the horsemen are like in all...
It's male, female.
Right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Four men, one woman.
Got it. Does she like the name Francis?
Yeah.
Does she like Francis?
Does she like the name Francis? Does she seem into him?
Yeah. So here's the thing. They each have their own, like, literally each one of them has their own kink thing. So.
Oh, okay.
Like so I said, there is a spice for every slice of life, and this book has it. So
okay.
Okay.
If you want your bondage, if you want your like praise.
Are there tentacles?
Want your... There are no tentacles.
Okay.
But just... there are toys.
Okay.
Okay. So like more realistic.
Okay. Yes, more realistic. Got it. Got it. So
but
these
still
guys.
Four of them at one.
Could feel like a sexy octopus.
Oh, God.
Yes, it does. Because she's blindfolded and who knows what's
who
going
knows
on.
What's going in where and what's happening.
Oh god. But no, but wait, actually, realistic question. Do we have sex scenes with her and all of them at the same time? Like is it
like a
say
group?
Threesome, okay. Quadruple.
Oh yes. There's a room. There's like a red room if you've read 50 Shades.
Oh
god. It's not just like she goes to the room with one of them at a time. It's all of them.
Well, no, like she like okay. So let me get to the premise. Hold
sorry.
On.
Oh sorry, go ahead.
We have a sexual question.
Christine and I have a lot of questions.
So the four guys who are like known as the Four Horsemen, they basically came up from nothing, like dirt. It takes place in England. They were dirt. Poor, they
accents,
came up,
like
and
British,
their entire it. Their entire premise of their like whole company was basically to get revenge. Like they've been building themselves up. They are millionaires, multimillionaires, billionaires. It opens with this girl Scarlett coming to interview for them, which has all been part of their plan.
Oh,
there are four best friends, but there used to be a fifth, and her name was Scarlett.
Ooh.
Scarlett had a very horrible accident and doesn't remember them.
Wait, oh,
what?
No.
This is Scarlett, the same Scarlett.
Yes. So basically, without what? Giving anything away, there was, and the, which is the reason I kept reading them, was because it hooked me in because I wanted to know what happened.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
This
so
is
basically,
not the Four Horsemen book I read. This I read
no, no,
a
there's a
Four
there's
Horsemen
a whole
book.
Other one, Christina. I know which one you're talking okay. about. So basically, something happened in their past that was obviously a turning point, and Scarlett was taken away from them after the accident.
Oh.
And raised, and as she says, she has very overbearing like parents.
Uh-huh.
She's basically lived on a compound her entire since the accident, and she doesn't remember anything before the accident. She was like 16 or something, or 16 somewhere in high school age.
Wow.
She doesn't remember anything before that. And she was raised on this compound, basically like a very wealthy estate.
Okay.
And this was her one chance to be free, was to go interview at this job. And her whole point of being there is because they, the Four Horsemen, are the enemy of the people who raised her on the compound. And so she's supposed to be
layers.
A spy.
Oh.
But they are like, you're our Scarlet. You belong with us.
Yeah.
And they're trying to like crack her memory. They go about it in some
I
very.
I have so many questions that I no, will be spoilers.
Like this
so I
is this is
them.
Where like I say check the trigger warnings because some of this is it's like dubious consent and sometimes
okay
the tactics they use are like hello what are you doing
yeah
but I am so but I was like I want to know what happened
yeah
I want to know
too.
What happened
yeah,
that night
sure.
They all allude to it, they all have a different POV on like what happened that night or like, and you don't really find out that you find out like certain truths at the end of book one and another truth at the end of book two
yes
and it keeps going and so I haven't finished
keep you
the whole book. Yeah, so I'm hooked, but I haven't finished.
So you don't
know
what happened to Scarlett?
I don't know what happened.
What? Yeah. Oh my god. I was about to ask you and be like, cut it. Just let me know, though. Like, just
yeah.
spoil it. But,
like,
oh my
just
god.
Tell us what
damn
happened
it.
To Scarlett. Okay, well, now you need to report back.
That one was, but I am telling you guys, it is, it's dark. It's dark
okay.
in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
So,
okay.
sorry, check the trigger warnings before you read it.
Okay, got it.
Got it.
Okay, so what's next?
Okay, so let's dive into some fantasy.
Yay!
Oh, fantasy!
Yes. So I've got some darker fantasy, and then I just got some, like, good old-fashioned, normal fantasy. So which one do we want to start with?
Dark and twisty, dark and twisty.
Yeah, dark and
dark
twisty.
And twisty.
You know we love it. You know we love it.
Okay, so dark and twisty it is. Okay,
okay,
so the first one I am going to recommend is Court of the Vampire Queen by Katie Roberts. Now, listeners, Katie Roberts is a big author in, like...
I've heard of her.
Yes. She wrote Neon Gods.
Yeah, Neon Gods,
yes.
Yeah.
But none of those are on Kindle Unlimited. This
yeah.
one is.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
I've read her non-Kindle Unlimited books, and I think they're better because
okay.
they're more full length.
Okay.
So The Court of a Vampire Queen is actually a bind-up of, I think, four short books. Like, they're each 120 to 150 pages.
So, like, some novellas. Okay.
So,
yeah.
Like, okay.
But it's funny because each time, like, a section finishes and the next one starts, there's, like, this little, like, recap, and you're like, I know I just finished.
Yeah, we were just here. I don't need the recap.
Just
thank
did it.
You.
Just did it.
But I will say, this one, for me, if you want straight up like vampire sexy smuttiness,
yeah.
then this is like
okay.
a 4.5 out of 5 spice.
Okay.
If you're here for the plot, it's like 2.
Okay.
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 Got it.
But you know,
That's okay.
Sometimes you're not there for the plot. Let's be real.
I know. This is like 400 pages. It was really kind of like quick to get through, but I found myself kind of skimming.
Okay.
I wanted to get like some vamp. I feel like I don't do enough paranormal. A lot of ours are just like more fantasy, like fae based. Yeah. This one is reverse harem again. And it's male, female. Let me tell you, guys, you asked and I didn't deliver.
Yes. Anna took one for the team on this
She dug through that TJ Maxx.
She did. And she said, no, I will find a treasure. I will find a treasure.
And I have. I did find some, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
So this one, it's basically like she's a half vampire, or so you think. And she basically, her father drops her off. He's like there's all these different like bloodlines of vampires, like purebred vampires versus like made vampires, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. The world building isn't great. Anyways, so Nina's dropped off at like this guy named this pureblood vampire, Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
And she's basically food. And her whole job is to feed him and then also to get knocked up. Because if she gets knocked up, then her father can control part of his bloodline. Like every bloodline has like a special power.
Oh.
Malachi has fire. Her father can like control people with his voice, basically.
Okay.
There's like other bloodlines that can shift. Other ones like can control you with like blood, basically, if they like taste your blood or like they like can like flick their blood. I don't know. Anyways.
Something with blood. Got it.
Yeah. Something with blood. And basically quickly you realize, oh, Mina is not all that she appears to be. Her blood tastes different. So something else is going on with her. I guess I won't spoil it, but I won't spoil it.
Okay.
So but then it all. Times. Yes. And basically she ends up kind of being like bonded with these three other vampires and they all want to knock her up.
Oh.
And so there's the pregnancy trope, like that whole thing.
Yes, that is a thing.
That kink, whatever.
Pregnancy kink, yeah.
Breeding kink. Yeah. So that's basically the whole plot is, and this is why I say the plot is so funny. And it's just like everything is wrapped up in sex. Like they need to break a curse, and the only way to break the curse, to get enough power to break the curse, is to have sex because that gives her power. And it's just that kind of thing where I'm reading it and I'm going, what is happening?
Did a man write this? Because yes, that sounds like something a man would come up with. Like, you know what we need to do? Have sex.
Everybody loves Neon Gods. And I was like, this is so, her other books are just much better, but they're not Kindle Unlimited. So.
Yeah.
If you want like a vampire reverse harem,
sexy,
lots of smut, this book is for you.
Great.
I read it with that mentality and I was like, okay, this hits those boxes.
Sure.
But now I need something good. Like I need something with a story.
Yes. Okay.
That brings us to The Vicious Lost Boys.
Okay.
Which is another series that is written by...
That's a fun title.
That is a fun title.
Yes. So Vicious Lost Boys by Nikki St. Crow.
Okay. Love that name.
This one, it has a better plot line. It also has a lot of steam.
Okay.
Check the trigger warnings.
Okay.
It is again reverse harem, but this one didn't bother me.
Okay.
Not that reverse harem bothered me all that much, but this one I thought was just done better.
Really well done. Yeah.
Yeah, and this one doesn't have too much group stuff. Like there might be some voyeurism, but it's more individual, I guess.
Okay.
It's basically a really dark retelling of Peter Pan, but not at all. Like just take everything you think about Peter Pan and throw it out the window.
Got it. Noted.
The Lost Boys ain't so little.
No.
And they're not sweet.
Oh,
they are
sweet. Got it.
Yes. So basically, Peter Pan has lost his shadow. He doesn't know where it is.
Oh no! Like we're actually in Peter Pan.
Yes, this is actually.
I'm
like,
sorry. I thought we are in loosely based. Like
no. We are in Neverland.
Oh, okay.
And
got it.
For like hundreds of years, every time a new darling female turns 18, Peter Pan shows up and takes her. And Wendy Darling, the original Wendy Darling, has something to do with his shadow thing. Missing.
Got
and
it.
We don't know, you know, how it all plays together. I'm not going to ruin it.
Okay.
So basically, this Winnie is the main girl, and she's been brought up by her mother, who is crazy. And she's crazy because she went to Neverland when she was 18 and was traumatized and then came home and basically has, like, she's kind of in a way, I'm sure in her head, she's, like, trying to protect Winnie, but she's done a lot of psychological and, like, physical damage. She's, like, taken her all over the world to shamans and done all these things to help protect her so that she doesn't get taken. to Peter Pan, but in ways that are like abusive,
yeah,
like forceful of that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Winnie has like has a very broken home relationship with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, Peter Pan shows up on her 18th birthday and he's like, let's go, and takes her to Neverland.
Oh,
and
God.
There are there's like three main lost boys. Two of them are Fae.
Interesting.
Oh. And then there's one, there's a guy called Vane who is also known as like the dark one, sort of.
Okay.
There,
okay.
It is dark and twisty. And
sounds like it.
Things are
dark and twisty Peter Pan.
Yes. But like I wanted to know what was going to happen. So I read the first two. I haven't finished the series because I think when I started it, the third one wasn't out yet. I actually started these a couple months ago.
How interesting. Okay.
It is interesting.
There was a couple scenes where that were not for me personally.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I just kind of skimmed over those really fast.
Some steam scene, like some sexual
just
things.
Some, like, yeah. Yeah, like okay. Some sexual stuff where I was like, this isn't for me, but there is spice for every slice of life.
For someone else.
There you go.
Yes. That is our motto for this episode. Yes.
That is our motto. Okay. I'm going to take a break and then I'll do my normal fantasy after Kim gets some.
Perfect.
Okay,
okay.
So
I am going
to
do, I'll do my rom-coms and then
rom-coms.
After Anna goes, I will end with my favorite one that I read that I don't even know what you would describe it as, but
I'll tag on, if you're doing rom-coms, I'll tag on Royally Not Ready and Charmed.
Oh, yes. Perfect. Okay. So the first one I want to talk about is called Reluctantly Yours by Erin Hawkins. And this book is like The Hating Game mixed with A Not So Meet Cute by Megan Quinn, which Anna and I read and really liked.
Yes.
All over my Kindle. Yeah.
Yes. Super cute. This is like a workplace, you know, romance, kind of like The Hating
Love
Game,
that.
But with a lot more steam and spice.
Oh my God, that's what The Hating Game was missing.
Exactly. So this book features Bennett and Chloe, and Chloe works at Barrett's mom's publishing company. Barrett doesn't work there, but his mom owns this really famous, well-to-do publishing company. He owns his own business, and he is like a ruthless businessman, and he needs to seem more relatable to close a deal. Anna, does that sound familiar to you?
Yes.
And so Chloe is his mom's assistant. And
okay.
So he finds her in kind of like a compromising situation. She kind of does something that she's not really supposed to be doing.
Okay.
And instead of telling his mom, he gets her to agree to be his fake girlfriend so that he can close this deal.
Oh my God,
and
I love this.
He basically is like, you either be my girlfriend or I'm going to tell my mom and you're going to get fired. And she's like, well, I can't afford that. It's in New York City and she lives in like a hole.
Yeah.
And he's like, nope, you're going to come live with me in my Upper East Side mansion.
Oh
and
my God.
Like they play, it's not called Wordle, but this was clearly back when, like, remember Wordle was like a really big deal.
Oh, yeah,
and
I still play Wordle. Yes.
Yeah, okay. So that's not right. I'm not saying like it's not a big deal, but
God, Kim.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Play that and like banter with each other, and we just love a fake dating trope. So this does feel a little bit similar to A Not So Meet Cute, but it doesn't have those like hilarious situations that they get into in that book.
Yeah.
This was like the perfect grumpy sunshine rom-com, but very spicy and steamy with lots of good like sexual tension, which we love.
Oh my gosh, I'm so here for this one.
It's
this is so
good. There's also she adopts a dog. And he's like, I'm adopting a dog. He's coming home with us. And Barrett's like, absolutely not. And she's like, absolutely yes.
Absolutely
and,
yes.
But he's not. I just personally don't love like a super asshole-y guy. Like
not
he can
either.
Be grumpy,
yeah.
But I don't want him to be like mean.
That's
and Barrett was
yeah.
not mean. Like he's grumpy and gruff, but he's never like mean to her, which I really personally like. He's very sweet
that makes,
to her.
That's really, yeah, important. Yeah.
I agree. And it was just really, it was like a perfect spicy rom-com.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was so sweet. It was so cute. It was very hot. Like there's very hot. Absolutely loved it. Again, if you like The Hating Game, if you like A Not So Meet Cute, I think you would really, really like this one.
What's it called again?
Say it's again. Called Reluctantly Yours by Erin Hawkins.
Reluctantly Yours. Love
reluctantly
it.
Reluctantly Yours because he's reluctantly hers.
Ah!
So the next one is called, I'm so excited about this one. This one is called By a Thread by Lucy Score. Now, if that author sounds familiar, it's because she wrote this.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Viral TikTok book, Things We Never Got Over, the blue cover with the daisies that you've seen everywhere. I read that and thought it was good, not great. I liked this one so much more. And one of our listeners actually told me to read this one.
Okay.
After I read Things We Never Got Over, and I was like, I liked it. But she was like, read this one. This one is really fun. I will say it is like a blatant ripoff of The Devil Wears Prada. Like the workplace is The Devil Wears Prada.
You know what? I don't even care. I'm so good.
Like, Christina will be all over this. Like, I'm talking the Miranda Priestly character, but she's...
Sign me up.
But she's nice. Okay, so this is about Dominic and Allie. And Allie... Dominic gets Allie fired from her pizza place job. And Dominic's mom feels really bad because her son is an asshole. And she's like, I'm so sorry. Come work for me at my magazine. And she's like, okay. Because she's working like five jobs. She's down on her luck. Her family has fallen on really hard times. Her dad has like late stage dementia. And has to live in this really well, she wants to put him in like the nicest assisted living facility, and it's very expensive. So she's working like five part-time jobs, and so this is like a golden ticket. She's like, absolutely, I will come work for you. And she shows up, and Dominic is like, what the fuck is she doing here? Like, absolutely not. She is not. She mouthed off to me, like she gave me attitude. I do not want her working here. And the mom is like, I don't care, whatever. So like, she is Miranda Priestly, but like nicer.
Yes, got it.
The head of the
magazine.
She's
a boss bitch, but
she's
exactly.
She's a boss bitch. Like, she's a very strong woman, but she's kind and not like, I mean, people are intimidated by her, but in like a, she's the boss kind of way.
Yeah.
So Dominic immediately is like, no, you're quitting. Like, we're not doing this. And Allie's like, watch me. And everyone like fawns over Dominic. He's very grumpy, but again, like not an asshole, but just more like gruff and grumpy.
Yes.
And so he like immediately starts falling for her. Like, they have this like, I hate you, but I don't hate you.
Yeah. Kind
of these interactions where they're like charged, very loaded, and he's like, what the hell is going on? I don't even like this girl, but like my body is like reacting to her.
But do I
And she's like, what is going on? Like, he's giving me all these mixed signals. Like, he wants, tells me he wants me to quit, but then like backs me up against a wall and is like all up in my space. Mm-hmm. And there's like heavy breathing, and you know how that goes. We love it. So basically they kind of like get into this thing where he's like, they can't date because there's a clause at the magazine that's like, you can't date, you know, your whatever. Right. He's above her, obviously. And so anyways, he's like, you should quit so we can fuck. And she's like, no, absolutely not. Like, I need this job. And he's like, well, I'll just pay for your dad's, like, he's like, I'll just pay for everything.
I'll
and
just,
she's like, at which I love. She was like, fuck no. Like, you're not doing that. Like, absolutely not. This is my problem. Like, you're not just going to buy me off. And he's like, I don't see the problem. I have all this money. Anyways, I just, she's so feisty. I freaking love her. I will say there were some instances where I felt like he kind of abused his position of power a little bit to like put her in situations where she would have to be around him after she kind of made it clear, like, I don't want to be around you. Like, let's take some space.
Sure.
He was kind of like, no, and would just like assign her to like another person to where she had to be around Dominic all the time.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
And I didn't love that. I was
problematic,
like,
but
I don't love that, but I moved past it. The author describes this as a steamy, swoony workplace romantic comedy with a grumpy boss hero determined to save the day and a plucky heroine who is starting to wonder if there might actually be a beating heart beneath her boss's sexy vest. She was like a thing for the vest.
The vest.
Yes.
Oh, a sexy vest.
So I will say, like, it is a blatant ripoff of The Devil Wears Prada. Like, there's a really sassy, gay, like, editorial assistant who's like, gird your loins. Like, I'm talking like... He goes into the closet and he's pulling stuff for her because he's like, you cannot work in
you
a magazine.
You can't wear this.
Dress like that. So he's pulling all these designer clothes for her.
And but I was like, so fun. Like, I'm,
so
I'm
fun.
Okay.
It's so
I know,
fun.
This sounds really good. Like
it is so good. I liked
this
it so much
This might be a good palette
better.
Cleanser for me.
And I think you would like this. Like, I think it's not, I mean, of course, there's like, there's really not that much miscommunication. It's mostly just kind of her being like, you're not just going to ramrod me into like paying for everything. And he's like, but I am. So there is like, of course, that third act, like miscommunication, like he's an asshole to her.
They
and
all have that.
All of
yeah.
his friends are immediately like, what are you doing?
What are you
like,
doing?
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
So there's that. But it didn't bother me as much. And I just thought this was really well done. I liked it a lot more than Things We Never Got Over. So Listeners, if you read that book and you were like, it's okay. It was very cheesy and cringy. I thought this was much better. I liked it a lot more. I just am a sucker for a workplace. I don't know. I just love a workplace romance. It's just fun.
You know? Yeah. I'm here for it. Sunshiny, grumpy workplace.
Sunshiny, grumpy.
And it's like the steam was really good. Like,
I was going to ask about the steam. Okay.
Very good steam, I will tell you that much. Very sexy.
Well, I love that.
They don't want to want each other, but they do. And I just love that. There's something about it. Yes, the elevators.
Going on.
Yeah. Yes, like walking into his office. And it, I mean, it's a whole thing. It was so good. Okay, my next one. You guys, okay, we need to enter into a judgment-free zone, okay?
Okay.
What I'm about to tell you. You, please don't judge me.
Listen, okay? You guys heard what I read, so come on.
Well, okay, but I knew what I was getting into here. And my next book is... Okay, just hold on. Okay, put yourself... Now, we are too old for One Direction, but we were not too old. It's... Hold on.
What is going on?
Judgment-free zone, ladies. Judgment-free zone. Okay.
This
book is called The Idea of You by Robin Lee. Okay. And my first line is, I'm just going to call this what it is. A smutty, steamy, Harry Styles fan fiction about a hot mom who takes her teenage daughters and her friends to... It's not called One Direction, but... A One Direction concert and catches the eye of not Harry Styles, but Harry Styles.
Okay.
Oh, like my Harry God, Styles, what? Like
at 20. He's legal, okay?
He's 20?
He's 20.
Well, he's
how old is
She's 39. Yes, it's an age gap.
Here for a cougar.
But she's like hot and French, so she's like, you know, ageless and
so
like
so she's pretty much like 22.
Listen, we're gonna be 39 in like 6 years. So.
Okay, and I don't need that kind of negativity. Okay, I don't need that.
No, I'm saying like we're hot.
And like, listen, I'm just gonna say that haven't we all like maybe been like, wow, that would be like kind of fun to like not One Direction, but like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. Like, did we not all think we were married to
absolutely.
Justin Timberlake and Nick Carter?
Did I fight over them with my best friends in like, middle school?
Yes.
Of course I did. Did I think that was real? Yes.
Yeah, yes, our love for them was real. Okay, it was. Okay.
This sounds really fun.
Okay, listen. I know the premise sounds crazy, but
no,
it's actually like a really sweet romance story. I mean, like, it's not marketed as a fan fiction, but like
it is.
That's what it is. Cause like it's like his name is Hayes Campbell and he's British and in a boy band with like four other guys and world famous. Like, it's One Direction. She falls in love with this like rock star and it's this fun, steamy. They have sex all over the world. He flies her to see him and like it's so wrong, but it's right. So
I love that.
It follows Celine and she is 39 and her teenage daughter is obsessed with this band August Moon, which is One Direction.
August Moon.
She takes them to this concert in Vegas. It's like her daughter and like two of her friends and they have like backstage passes to go see the band. They have like a meet and greet.
Yeah.
And they have the meet and greet and Hayes immediately looks at Celine and is like,
I want you.
You're hot as hell. She's like, oh, okay. Like, you're 12. It's fine. And she's like, no, I'm okay, more, no. Like, she thinks he's, you know, he's obviously, I mean, it's like Harry Styles. He's beautiful.
Yeah.
But she's like, you're 12. Like, I'm a mom. We're not doing, like, whatever. And he, like, tracks her down because she's like, oh, I own an art gallery. You know, he, like, whatever. And so he kind of, like, tracks her down and she's like, he's like, come to lunch with me. And she's like, why? Like, this is so crazy. And he's like, I know, but just come to lunch with me. It'll be fun. And so they go to lunch and there's, like, instant sexual tension. Like, oh my God, the hands on the thighs, and it's just instantly like,
oh my God,
they're instantly attracted to each other. But she's like, she just keeps being like, this can't happen, like, this is crazy. And he's like, why not? And she's like, and she's a single mom, she's divorced, and it's just this forbidden. They embark on this like forbidden love affair, and he flies her everywhere that he is. He's like, come see me, and she's running away from like all her responsibilities. Her daughter's like, oh, you know, where are you going? And she's like, oh, I have to go to a gallery for work in New York, but really she's going to see him.
So she's going to be see Harry Styles.
She's going to see Harry Styles. And they just like have sex all the time and they just are falling head over heels for each other. But they actually like, he literally falls in love with her and he's so sweet with her and is just obsessed with her and she's like fighting it for a while and finally she's like, no, I really like him. But she doesn't tell anybody, obviously. Like, how is she going to tell people she's sleeping with Harry Styles?
Hello. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so finally, after this goes on for like months, like a paparazzi like outs.
I was gonna ask about the paparazzi.
Oh yeah, it was actually really interesting because they talk about she must have done her research because they talk about like even going out to dinner, they have to like coordinate security and go through the back doors of the kitchen and
sure.
wear disguises.
Yeah,
and stuff.
That's so interesting. Like that stuff would be so much fun to read.
It was so much fun to read because you think about, I don't know, I think about dating a member of One Direction, but you think like, oh my gosh, it would be so fun. But she also was like, these fans are fucking insane. Like, anyways, they find her, his fans in the world. And her daughter her daughter is obsessed with this band.
Oh, right. That's why she even knows. Yeah.
She finds out that her mother is sleeping with her favorite member of this band. And she is heartbroken. And her ex-husband's like, what the fuck are you doing? And her co-owner at the gallery is like, what are you? Everyone's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
But they're all like, it's just sex. Like, it'll, you know. And then she's like, right. But
it's not.
They fall in love with each other. And it's very sweet. And I feel a little bit shameful. But y'all, I just really, this was so much fun to read.
Oh.
So the ending was not, I enjoy a classic happily ever after ending. So, yes. And also lower your expectations, obviously. This is a Harry Styles like fan fiction book. So
let's keep that in perspective.
But if you just want a really fun, steamy, escapist read of I want a rom-com, but I want something kind of different.
Right.
I think this would be...
That sounds exactly what it is. Yeah.
Like exactly what it is. It's not winning any literary award. Okay. But it's a fun...
It's a fun one.
Yes. Okay. Anna, do you want to do one?
Yes. Okay. So I have a few to add to this rom-com slash like just not dark contemporary romance.
Cool.
Okay. So the first one, Royally Not Ready by Megan Quinn, which we all love. Not So Me Cute. Yes. So I was like, okay, well, I got to read this one.
Yeah. I'm so excited to read this.
I loved this. It was so much fun.
Yay!
Okay, so I will say exactly the same issue, but I was able to get past it. The same issue I had with the beginning of Not So Me Cute. Mm. I just found the heroine, like the main character to be, female character to be just kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't mind like a vulgar, brash female lead. Like that doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
It felt like, because it's kind of like a makeover Princess Diaries type situation.
Yes.
It felt like so over the head that I was like, okay, we get it. Like she's not, you know.
She's not royal material.
Polite and like, she doesn't, you know how to keep her pinky up.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thankfully, we turned a corner rather quickly.
Okay.
But anyways, so the premise is we have Lily. She runs, so funny. She literally runs a white, like a wet t-shirt type thing.
Like a contest?
It's like in Florida. I think it's Miami. I can't remember. But yeah, so like basically she has like this truck and they do like, it's probably like spring break type stuff where she and her friend, they sell t-shirts, but then like they hose you down. They do like contests or whatever.
Okay.
And it opens with like this and then this guy in like a dark, like this sexy man in like a dark suit comes up and he's like, hands her a card. And he's like, hey, I need to talk with you. And she's like, who? Okay, dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he says her mom's name and her mother, both of her parents have passed away.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, so very quickly, it's like the last remaining heir of this totally made up country that I still can't pronounce.
Yes.
Aldovia.
What is it? Well, Maldovia.
Genovia,
Oh yeah, Aldovia is the Netflix one. Yeah.
Aldovia, right.
Yes, that's the
so
Netflix
think
one.
Of Princess Diaries.
Okay.
It's like that Netflix Christmas show, The Prince. You know what I'm talking about?
The Prince, yes. I've watched all of them many times.
Many times, okay. Yes.
And there's like four now and she's like pregnant and had a baby. Like,
yes.
Yes, I know. Like that was last year's.
That was last year's, yes. She was pregnant, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is literally like Princess Diaries meets that.
Oh, here for it.
Like
for all
she
of
gets
it.
Whisked off to like basically what
like
should
very
be
very like, steamy, like from what I've heard.
This is very steamy. Yes, this is the Netflix meets Princess Diaries with sex.
Ooh.
Fun.
And not just like a little bit. We are talking like it is a dom sub.
Interesting.
Oh. And that is not normally my thing, but I was very here for it.
Okay.
My God. I am
and it was
on this one.
Really well done. Well, I mean, I don't read a lot of that, so like maybe there's people out there who read more.
No,
like,
I've heard really
like
good. I've heard really good things about
I
this
really
one.
Enjoyed it. It's just funny. It's light, but so steamy. So yes. Lily is the to-be princess, right. And then Keller is like her bodyguard slash like the person. He's basically like, he calls himself kind of like the adopted son of like, so it's her grandparents are the rulers.
Okay.
And they have like kind of like a, it's not tragic, but they have four kids and something has happened to all four of them, where basically either they're not necessarily deceased, but there's nobody to take the throne.
Okay.
And her parents, her mother was the last, was the baby of the family. And she gave up all of her royal duties and came to America and met her husband and had Lily.
Got it.
And then they passed away tragically in a car accident.
Okay.
So she goes here and basically her grandfather is sick, but he doesn't want her to know that. Mm-hmm. So they've taken her to like a secluded place because they don't want the paparazzi or anybody to know. And they're like, we want you to see if you like it. We are not going to force you. Mm-hmm. We've already like, we lost your mother and it was a kind of a strained relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the grandfather and the grandmother really do care about her. And they're like, you are not forced to do this. Just try it out. And if it's not for you, that's fine.
Yeah.
But she feels so close to her mother and she realizes all these things that she did growing up, all these holiday traditions or like little things that her, like baking things that mm-hmm. she would do with her mom were all rooted in like where her mother grew up and she didn't know it.
Oh, how sweet.
And so there's all these little things that she starts to feel like really close to her mom. And she's in this secluded old rundown castle and she's with Keller and like two other bodyguards.
Uh-huh.
I kind of love it because she's the one who's like pushing Keller. It's the opposite.
Oh, also wait, I love that it's like bodyguard, like princess romance.
Yeah.
That's also a trope I really love.
Yeah, and he's like, this isn't appropriate. I can't do this. I'm basically a peasant in your royalty. I would be above my station. And he resists it so much until he doesn't.
Until he doesn't.
I think the line is, out there, you're queen, but in the bedroom, I'm the king. And I was like, feminism just went out the window.
God, that's so
goodbye, feminism. I'll see you later.
See you later.
He's really sweet. Like, he's not, I think that's why I like it, because he's not like a traditional, he's so caring and he like really appreciates her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, he's like a grumpy sunshine in the best way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just loved the story. And of course there's like the third act miscommunication, blah, blah, blah. There's a leak in the castle and she gets outed and paparazzi, blah, blah, blah.
But it sounds so fun.
I enjoyed it so much.
I cannot wait to read it. I loved A Not So Meet Cute. And Christina, you would love A Not So Meet Cute. It's right up your alley.
After ACOTAR,
And I've heard Royally Not Ready is so good, so steamy. Christina, Miranda has read it and said it was
Miranda
so good.
I knew someone else mentioned this. Yes, okay,
Miranda loved it. And it's good. It's good. So the other one I quickly want to mention is two really fast. So Charmed by Laura Pavlov. I think it's the third in the Willow Springs kind of like series.
Okay.
They each follow one of four best friends. They're standalones, but I guess there's probably some, but they're all happily ever after. It's like, it doesn't, you know what I mean? It's like, you can
it's not gonna,
get kind of ruined.
Yes.
So I just picked this one because it's the newest one and it was all over Book Talk.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, well, I'll just do that one.
Sure.
It's not my normal
cup of tea.
It's just not my normal type of read.
Mm-hmm.
It has steam, but like I needed a few more paragraphs to make it worth my while. It was just kind of like a very more traditional, sweet enemies to lovers.
Mm-hmm.
She comes from like oil money. It's like Texas. She's in Dallas. She comes from like oil, very wealthy oil money.
Okay.
Her father's a complete asshole.
Uh-huh.
I think she's like, I want to say she's like at SMU basically.
Okay.
Which is a college in Dallas, listeners. And she gets the coveted internship at this PR firm.
Okay.
And it's her parents' archenemy.
Oh, no.
She's like a few years older, but not by a lot. It's not a big age gap thing.
Yeah. Not like 20 and 39.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah, like,
right.
He hates her family, she hates his family, but she's very like, I can put aside our differences because this is important for my career.
Right, okay. Right.
And he like wants to make her life a living hell, but he's not, it's not this like asshole. He's not. He really isn't, because I think I would have just immediately stopped reading.
Yeah.
But it's sweet. There's of course these few moments where it's not touch you and all unalive, but it's you don't talk to her that way, and like,
ooh,
he ends
I
meeting,
love that.
And like storms. Yeah, like he's really close with his family. He has three brothers. One of them is a twin and that had a sister. So Kim, I will just tell you this, but it's not that graphic. She gets sick with cancer, but many, many years earlier, and has passed away since.
That's fine.
And that's part of the reason there's a story back history there with why he hates her father so much. So that's Charmed by Laura Pavlov.
I am downloading that one. That sounds
yes,
right up
that
my alley.
One. And I kind of honestly, I feel like it's a good palate cleanser.
Yes.
Okay, I kind of want to go read the other ones. Last one. The only reason I want to mention it is because I already talked about the first one in the Miles High Club by T.L. Swan.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I just read the Do Over, which follows the youngest brother Christopher. So again, I read these all out of order. I haven't even read the middle two. I read the first and the last.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Yeah.
And the only reason I want to bring it up, listeners, is because it was fun, but I felt like the main character has like whiplash. It follows Christopher and Hayden. Basically, his brothers challenge him and are like, Christopher, you're never gonna grow up. You only like, it's impossible for you to live without like money. And so he says, challenge accepted. I'm gonna only take $2,000 and I'm going to go basically live in hostels for a year around Europe.
Okay.
And they all laugh him off. So he goes and meets a girl.
Okay.
And she of course has been like, comes from nothing, has been saving for this trip. Aww. And he basically doesn't let on as to like where he really comes from.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, right.
There's a whole romance there. I won't get into all the specifics.
Okay.
I do like it because there's like, it's not like third act miscommunication. There's like miscommunications along the way, but it's done in, I don't know, I didn't dislike that. It was it was done kind of well.
Realistically,
what bothered me was just kind of the writing was disjointed a little bit.
Okay.
And
okay.
I felt like the main character, when he was sweet, he was so sweet and fun, but then he would just be like, he was just like an asshole.
Yeah.
And I was like, it came out of left field, and it was kind of like, because it was so random, I would skim over it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
I just, like, listeners, I just wanted to update you on that series because I've seen it all over.
Yeah, it's been very
everywhere,
popular.
Like Book Talk and Instagram. And it's fine. It's not, and like the steam is okay, mm-hmm. but it's if you're looking for like a steamy romance, that's not what I would go with.
Okay. So there's good better job. Ones out there. Yeah.
There are better ones out there, okay, in my cool. opinion. But it serves a purpose.
Yeah, for sure. So my last two are, this one is called Too Good to Be True. I don't know who it by. But you can look it up, and it's on Kindle Unlimited. Sorry about that. It is a mystery thriller romance. And I'm just going to read, because it is like very twisty, I want to be careful with like what
twisty.
I say. So I'm going to...
Okay, so no spoilers.
No
Got
spoilers,
it.
But I'm going to read the synopsis. But I'm reading the synopsis because I want to be careful about how much I reveal.
Got it.
So this follows Sky Starling.
Love that name.
Yeah, okay. So it says, Sky Starling is overjoyed when her boyfriend, Burke Michaels, proposes after a whirlwind courtship. Though Sky seems to have the world at her fingertips, she's smart, beautiful, and from a well-off family. She's also battled crippling OCD ever since her mother's death when she was 11, and her romantic relationships have suffered as a result. But now Burke, handsome, older, and more emotionally mature than any man she's met before, says he wants her forever. Except Burke isn't who he claims to be, and interspersed letters to his therapist reveal the truth. He's happily married and using Sky for his own deceptive ends.
No!
In a third perspective, set 30 years earlier, a scrappy 17-year-old named Heather is determined to end things with Burke, a local bad boy, and make a better life for herself in New York City. But can her adolescent love stay firmly in her past, or will he find his way into her future? On a collision course she doesn't see coming, Sky throws herself into wedding planning as Burke's schemes grow ever more twisted. But of course, even the best laid plans can go astray. And just when you think you know where the story is going, you'll discover there's more than one way to spin the truth.
What?
Okay.
Y'all, this book was insane, but like in the most believable way. Like some of the books I talked about, it was like some of the twists I was like, okay, this is... But this one was, oh my God. I went in knowing nothing. It had been recommended. I downloaded it. I started it. And I was like, oh my God, he's married. Because he like writes letters to his therapist and he's like... you told us to like write these journal entries to, like, for Heather and I to work on our marriage. And so I'm writing them and like, here's what's going on. I met this girl. And then it flashes back to Heather's perspective. And she's like 16 in this small town with her loser boyfriend, Burke. And she starts nannying for this really wealthy family. And the mom is like, you can do better than him. Like, you have aspirations. Like, I'm going to help you get somewhere in life. And she's like, yes, I want to be you. I want to be a wealthy housewife. And like, goodbye, Burke. It all comes together. So like, there's all these different stories, right? And they all kind of like come together in one. And it is a wild, twisty. I'm just going to read this review because this really sums it up.
Yeah.
This is one of those books that falls into the less you say, the less you know, the better. So to that end, all I'm going to say is this is one clever little mind trip, highly absorbing and wildly entertaining. If you like getting sucked so completely into a story that you lose track of time, this might be one you want to consider.
Oh my God.
There is no agenda, no messages, no sermons, just a good original well-plotted thriller with one amazing twist that completely took me by surprise. And that sums up exactly how I feel about this book. I just like, I read that and I was like,
this sounds so fun.
It's so fun, crazy. You guys,
it's almost like Gone Girly. It sounds like
Like, it's very twisty, but it's just like, it's, and like, there is steam between like Sky and Burke and they're dating and stuff, but it's not like really about that. It's more just
these stories. It's got a good plot.
It's got such a great plot. You will not like the twist comes and you're like, what? But it's so believable and well done that I just absolutely loved it. I could not put it down. I thought the writing was really fantastic. The plot was fantastic. The twists, again, like, I know I'm repeating myself, but sometimes these, like, these twists just like aren't, they're very outlandish.
Totally.
And so you're in it and you're like, okay, I'm in it. I'm seeing what we're doing here. Don't really understand how this would logistically work.
Yeah,
but fine.
It 100% is so realistic and like
That's real,
you just never see it coming.
Yeah.
And the way that their stories all interspersed and how they're connected is so interesting and well done. I freaking loved it.
That sounds so cool.
Absolutely. This one and the next one, if you pick up any from my recommendations, please, please pick. Even if you don't normally like kind of thrillers.
Yeah.
It's not really a thriller.
Right. No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But
yeah.
So that is Too Good to Be True. I believe her name is Carola something.
Okay.
Fantastic. I cannot wait to read more by her. I'm obsessed with that book. So that was Too Good to Be True.
Okay.
My last book, you guys, and my favorite. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So in our last episode, I talked about a series called The Deal with the Devil by Elizabeth O'Rourke.
Okay.
And that was like a romance series that was freaking fantastic. Ignore the covers. Again, I don't know what some of these authors are doing with these covers. But she also writes under the name L. O'Rourke. And she writes a completely different genre. And this is called Parallel by L. O'Rourke. And it is a time travel reincarnation romance.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Like parallel, like a previous lives type of thing. This was highly, highly recommended. So this follows Quinn. Quinn is a normal young woman living a normal life, about to be married to her childhood sweetheart. Nick is a neurologist who is afraid of commitment and keeps stopping himself from taking the next step with his current girlfriend. The problem is both of them have been having very weird, vivid dreams lately about each other. They dream about a past life where they were married in love, and they wake up feeling guilty every single day as they look to their sleeping partners next to them. They shouldn't be in love with someone who doesn't even exist. The closer Quinn gets to her wedding, the worse these dreams get. She ends up passing out and her mom is terrified for her, so they take her to a neurologist.
Oh.
At the hospital, that neurologist is Nick. They immediately recognize each other. They've been dreaming about each other their entire lives without knowing each other in real life. And now they have to figure out why this is happening.
Incredible.
And why does it feel like they've been in love all along? This was good. It was magic. Like, it makes you believe in like soulmates.
I am like so in already.
I want to read this.
She's been dreaming about Nick since she was a little girl. Like, she would wake up and be like, Nick. And her mom would be like, who's Nick? And she would be like, my husband. Like, as a three-year-old, she'd be like sobbing, being like, I miss Nick. And her mom would be like, who's Nick? And she'd be like, my husband.
God, what?
And she learned like very quickly to stop telling her mom these things because her mom obviously is concerned.
Upset and fights.
Yeah. So she just like tampers it down and acts like it stopped happening. But she's dreamed about him her whole life, about this life that they had in London together. But they don't live in London.
God.
She's never met Nick. And it all like comes together. And oh my, this love story is just, it's so sweet.
God.
It's about love through like time and it doesn't matter. Oh. It was very like, I'll find you to whatever end.
Oh. It kind of reminds me of Time Traveler's Wife a little bit. Like, it sounds a little bit like Time Traveler's Wife, which I love. I love that book.
It was a little bit similar to that, but more, I guess, modern and more modern day.
Right.
Because I think like she travels through like different time periods, but Quinn just travels to her alternate life with Nick. So like she'll wake up and be in London with Nick, but she's never lived in London with Nick.
Whoa.
They are living like a different
life. So she's in her dream when she she's dreaming.
She, if something triggers her, she'll pass out, go into this dream world.
Whoa.
But it's like a real life, and she'll like know things about Nick, and he's like, how did you know that about me? And she was like,
I don't know.
That he had a twin brother who passed away, and he's just things that she shouldn't know, that like nobody would know about him.
Because she knows from the parallel.
Guys, it was just...
That's so cool.
The sweetest, most magical, unique love story.
Aww.
Oh, it will literally make you believe in... I mean, I know it's a fiction story, but I was like, they're soulmates. Like, they're meant to be together.
Oh my God, I'm so in.
It is so unique. Please, please pick this up. Even if you're not into that kind of stuff, it's done in such a way that it's so... It's more about their story than the logistics of, you know, how she...
Right.
Like, you don't have to believe in that kind of stuff, too.
Sure, no. Yeah.
It's just so well done, and, like, their connection and their love for each other is just so sweet, and it's actually a duet. So there's Parallel and Intersect, and those follow Quinn and Nick, and you will have to pick up Intersect, because Parallel kind of ends in a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Okay.
And then there's a third and fourth book in the series that follow, that's a prequel duet that I haven't picked up yet. That follows somebody that you meet in Parallel.
Oh!
I really want you guys to read it. I think you would love it.
I'm very excited to read it. Aww, I really am.
I want to read it too.
So that's my last and my best.
Last and best. Save the best for last.
Yeah. Okay, Anna.
Okay, so I'm going to finish us up with some classic fantasy.
Classic.
Yay!
This is not dark. This is... This is not reverse harem. This is
no tentacles here.
Good old fashioned.
No tentacles.
Fantasy.
No Francis. I just can't get over it.
Okay, so first I want to give an update, because when I, and this happened again this time, listeners, which I'll get to in a second, for some reason the last book I decide to read ends up being my favorite and I can't finish it before we record.
That's okay.
So Lady of Darkness by Melissa Rorick is the series I recommended to you guys in our last Kindle Limited. And I was like, okay guys, but I've only read like half of it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, I finished all three books that are out in 1 week.
Yes.
I could not put it down.
I can't wait to pick this up.
So fun. The world building. I mean, it's just, I love it. It's got all these different, I think when I started last time, I was like, oh, it's just Fae and humans. Nope. There are, I think there's shifters, there's vampires. I believe there's like something else. But anyways, but it's not, and I'm not here to like, we're not here to... to talk about Jennifer Armentrout, but I will say if the big one of the issues that we have with the From Blood and Ash series was just kind of how confusing some of the world building and all the different species of paranormal fantasy characters.
Yeah.
And changing them to a point where it just got very confusing.
Uh-huh.
Lady of Darkness has all these different classic fantasy paranormal characters, and it is not confusing at all.
Ooh, I love that.
Everybody just has their very traditional, this is what you are, this is how you behave, and we're not going to do too much about it. It's already canon.
Love it.
Like in every other series.
Love
so
that.
I really like that. Every book kind of ends on like a cliffhanger. And as you keep reading, not like crazy cliffhangers, but there's like, you know, you want to pick up the next book.
Sure.
There is obviously something going on with our main female lead. I really appreciated it for the conversations. I'm drawing a complete blank because I read this a month and a half ago on the two main characters' names for some reason. I just appreciate that the conversations they had would happen in real time.
Yeah.
There wasn't like a lot of there'd be things that would get somebody angry, but they would talk it out. Or if they were angry, it was justified, and it was done in a way that it didn't annoy me if they stayed mad, because it was realistic. Like they needed to have that anger and work through it, if that makes sense. I will just say one little negative thing is not negative, but I noticed a couple, I would say two times where I was like, whoa, this is very similar to ACOTAR.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I just had to kind of acknowledge that nugget and then let it go.
And then
will.
And then compartmentalize and let it go.
So I will just say that, and it is fun.
Cool. Okay. Oh, I'm so glad you ended up liking the series, because I know...
The fourth one comes out, I think, in like 3 days.
Oh, exciting.
So I'm really excited.
Oh, yay.
Okay, so there's that one. The other one I want to mention, two more, Duel with a Vampire Lord.
Okay.
By Elise, I think it's Elise Kova.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
This is part of her Married to Magic series.
Okay.
It's, I don't know which one it is. They're all standalones. They all take place in the same universe.
Yeah.
The first one is like Deal with the Elf King.
Oh,
which
right.
I read years ago.
Okay.
Duel with the Vampire Lord is out. It was all over TikTok, which is why I picked it up. I skipped, I think, the second or third book.
Okay.
I really like it. It follows Reuven and Florine. Florine lives in like a town that basically kind of is the barrier between the human realm and like the vampire realm. And
got
their
it.
Whole job is like vampires are evil. She's part of like this family line of blacksmiths, and they're mm-hmm. very sacred jobs, and they make all the silver weapons
okay.
to like kill the vampires.
Oh.
But you quickly realize within the first few chapters, because she leaves the compound.
Yeah.
And she's not supposed to.
Yeah.
Ends up with the vampire lord.
Yeah.
Things are not all that as they seem. The vampires that you see running around come across as very like zombie-like.
Okay.
And then when she gets captured, there's all these things that start to happen. And obviously everything she was told is not the truth. There's lies
yeah.
within the
yeah.
truth and truth within the lies.
Yes.
And,
this reminds me of King of Battle and Blood a little bit.
It is kind of, yeah.
Like that not everything is as it seems.
It's really, it was fun. It's just, like I said, it's a standalone. So the plot moves very quickly.
Uh-huh.
You kind of have to like forgive some of the quick romance
sure.
stuff like that. It's got some steam, but it's not like a super, super steamy book, but
got
it's
it.
Tension. And I really enjoyed it. It was
okay.
really kind of like a fun
yeah.
vampire book to read.
Love that.
The final book is the one I'm maybe like halfway or two thirds of the way through. It's called Court of Blood and Bindings.
Okay.
It is by Lisette Marshall.
Okay.
And I am loving it.
Oh, yay.
I kept putting it off because I was like, I don't know why, just something wasn't grabbing me.
Yeah.
As soon as I started it though, she's taking her time to build a world. It's a little slower.
Yeah.
There is the enemies to lovers. It follows, we have Emmeline and Corian. And Corian is also known as like Silent Death, is like his like fae soldier
okay.
name.
Okay, got it.
And so Emmeline is in the human realm.
Okay.
And we know that she has magic. And it's a big secret because humans aren't supposed to have magic.
Mm.
So immediately you're like, something.
Something
else is afoot.
Something's amiss here.
Yeah. But the magic system is cool. It's all related to colors.
Right.
So red is for destruction, yellow for change, and blue for healing. Kind of like the primary colors.
Oh, I love that.
So she like to destroy something, for example, like she has to, if she wants to destroy something, she has to touch the color red and she basically sucks red out and then can channel that magic. If she
oh.
wants to heal it, then she's got to touch something blue and channel it, and then over time I guess the color will return to whatever item she touched.
Got it.
Depending on how much magic she uses.
Okay.
And of course, like, eventually she starts to learn how to use her magic, and like she
yes.
realizes that some things require, you know, a little bit of blue and yellow, and it kind of creates like a green
oh,
color or red
so
and yellow.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And of course immediately she gets whisked off to the Fae realms by the Silent Death.
Yes.
It's interesting because he can't talk, so his speech has been taken from him.
He can't talk.
So all of their communication is him writing. And it kind of adds this sense of, you know, you're frustrated. It's a lot of him looking at her and shrugging and like being frustrated with her, and him
yeah.
being frustrated because he can't speak,
yeah.
but he writes everything out. She knows basic sign language from like a person that she knew in the human realm.
Oh.
And she tries to teach it to him.
That's really
he
sweet.
Has a very dark past because he's like 500 years old.
Okay.
So she has a really hard time forgiving him, but she's battling with herself because she's kind of becoming attracted to him.
Okay,
but like
okay.
he has a dark past, and
yeah.
I don't know yet how much of it's true and what is not true.
Yeah.
So like I said, I haven't finished, but
yeah.
I am really enjoying it.
Oh, that's so fun.
It's got so much tension. We've had a little bit of break in the tension, a
Yay!
Little bit of steam, but it's the first book and it's uncompleted. It's literally sold as like a steamy fae romance,
it.
But it's been mostly tension.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm okay with that.
Like
sure. it is done well. It's
yes.
the Fae Isles, I think is the name of the series.
Okay.
But the first one is called A Court of Blood and Bindings by Lisette Marshall. And I will update
it.
You guys next time.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I love that. That magic system sounds so cool.
Yeah. I really am enjoying it. I'm like, can't wait to get into bed and finish it.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I definitely want to download that. Oh my gosh. So fun. I feel like you had some good ones. Like, you had some ones that you liked.
There were some ones that I like. It was, you know, I think last time I had more.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I think I'm going to change up, I think, of how I might try and tackle some different genres.
Sure.
This next time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I got really wrapped up into the dark.
Yeah. Bless you. I truly, y'all, there are some crazy books out there.
There were some I just was like, I'm not even going to recommend this.
Life is too short to waste time on books that you're not 100% feeling. Okay, so I think that wraps up our recommendations for this episode. We had some really good ones. Our next episode will be A Court of Thorns and Roses. Finally!
So excited.
Oh my gosh. Almost took us like over 18 months to do this series on our podcast, but we are so excited. So yes, that will be our next episode coming out in a couple of weeks. We are so excited to do that. If you want any more information about any of the books that we talked about, I will leave a list in the description this time, along with we'll do timestamps of different genres.
Yes.
But because we didn't want to be here for 3 hours, we kind of had to move quickly. So if you have any questions about trigger warnings or magic systems or plot about any of the books, please feel free to DM us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast. We would love to chat with you about these books, but we tried to keep them as quick as possible for time's sake. But yes, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Flights of Fantasy Podcast, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers, listeners.
Yay.
Yay.